I'm going to be talking to you about the power of agreement. And if I'm talking to you about the power of agreement, I got to talk about this power couple. For you see, Abraham and Sarah were a power couple. Yeah. They were a power couple before people called people a power couple. They're the only couple that's mentioned here in the Hallmark of Faith right up against each other. Talks about what he did, talks about what she did. Through faith also, Sarah herself receives strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Isn't it funny it didn't give Abraham the credit for the birth of the child? It gave it to Sarah, but it gave Abraham credit for the journey. It gave Sarah credit for the birth. But there had to be an agreement between them. They could not walk together, save they agree. They had to reach a level of agreement. Now let's go back and understand some things. God has designed faith to be at its maximum capacity when we come into agreement, where we're in agreement one with another. That doesn't mean that everybody has to agree. That doesn't mean the neighbors across the street have to agree. But there has to be an agreement concerning what God has promised you, and hopefully somebody that can touch and agree with you. The Bible said, if any two of you agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done. Coming into agreement. Not just two people coming into agreement with each other. That's nice. But two people coming into agreement with God, that's better. If the two people come into agreement with each other, that could be anything. That could be a murder. That could be homicide. That could be witchcraft. That could be anything. But if the two come in agreement with God, a threefold cord is not easily broken. So what you want to do is find somebody that can come in agreement with you, believing God for the things that he has promised you, not looking for somebody to agree with you, because that's what's wrong with the world now. We only talk to people that we agree with. We only watch the news that we agree with. We're only friends with people who think like us, vote like us, dress like us, act like us. There is no fruition when there's sameness. There is no fruition when there's sameness. You need to have differences and come into agreement in order to give birth. If Abraham had come into agreement with Steve, there wouldn't be Isaac. If Sarah had come into agreement with Hannah, there wouldn't be Isaac, because there's sameness. There has to be differences in order for there to be fruitfulness. The reason our country is not any more fruitful than it is that we're always hanging out with the same people who have the same ideas, sharing the same thoughts, and we're looking to have fruit. You cannot have fruit that way. You can have unison. You can have agreement, but you can't give birth. Agreement is when two different things come together into agreement that they bring forth fruit. The differences complement each other. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. We are living in a tribal society where people are becoming more and more tribalistic. Everybody gets with their own groups. All the doctors hang with the doctors. All the lawyers hang with the lawyers. All the poor people hang with the poor people. All the rich people hang with the rich people. And until we have cross-pollinization, there's not going to be fruitfulness. It is a statistical fact that if you put all poor people in a neighborhood, it defeats growth and development. Mixed neighborhoods cause people to be more productive. The kids make better grades. The people are more upwardly mobile because different types of people we learn from are differences. What has made America great is our differences, not our sameness. We don't want to just be one. We want to be one because we are many. All right? Because we are many, because of our diversity, and yet we agree on something, that's what the whole idea of our country is about. That is the same idea with the Word of God. If any two of you agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done. It shall be done because God has decreed for us to come into agreement. You don't need to make an agreement with somebody where you think just alike. You need an agreement where there is a possibility of contention. You don't need a contract if you don't have the possibility of contention. The possibility of contention is you may stray, I may stray, but an agreement means we agree about this. We may not agree about You may want a stucco house, I may want a brick house. But if we agree to what's in the covenant, we have an agreement, which today is called a contract. And when you have a contract, you have deliverables, whereas for the which cause this person should deliver this by this day or that day does not mean that we both like meatloaf. All right. So we can have our distinctions. We can have our differences. But the agreement is those areas in our lives that we have an understanding that we are in agreement about, an MOU, a memorandum of understanding. We have come into covenant. Abraham and Sarah are able to defy all odds based on agreement, agreeing with each other about what God has spoken in their life. But what I want to share over the next few minutes is that agreement doesn't come easy. Agreement doesn't come easy. We can come over here, you can bring a man and a woman and bring them to us, and we can pronounce them man and wife. Average wedding ceremony actually in about 30 or 40 minutes. But they may spend the next 10 years coming into agreement. The service and the wedding is easier than the marriage and the ever after. Coming into agreement is a process. So you start out bickering about little things. You didn't put down the toilet seat. You leave the toothpaste open. You did this, you did that. You don't clean up after yourself. You don't cook. Ta-da-da. You come into agreement. See, the problem is we want everything right now, but we don't want to go through the process that it takes to come into agreement. It is a process. It is arduous. It is difficult. It is a journey. It develops over time. It enriches itself through experiences. And eventually we come in agreement. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil that fell onto the head of Aaron, onto his beard, and onto his skirts. For there God commanded a blessing, even life forevermore. Where is there? At the point of our agreement. Wherever we walked, however long it took, whatever we went through, at the point we came into agreement, that's when the blessing began to occur in our lives. While we are coming into process, we can't be fruitful because we haven't come into full agreement. We need agreement. If we're going to build a church, we need agreement. If we're going to build a business, we need agreement. If we're going to have a great ministry, we need agreement. If we're going to raise great children, we need agreement. If we're going to have a great marriage, we need agreement. We don't need to be the same, but we need to have agreement. My wife and I are as different as day and night about some things. She has one personality type, I have another, but we come into agreement about certain things. I didn't have to morph into being her. She doesn't have to morph into becoming me. We learned that over the years, that it's better to let her be her and let me be me so that we can be comfortable in the relationship, but we come into agreement about certain things, and those areas are the places of being fruitful. Agreements aren't easy. Agreements require negotiation. Agreements require maturity. Agreements require process. Agreements require commitment. Agreements require focus, and agreements take time. I tell my wife all the time, when it comes to the bigger the business deal, the longer the time it takes. I've never seen anybody do a big deal in a short time. Anything that comes together too quick scares me. Because when something is big, it's complicated. And when it's complicated, it takes time. And you want to have the forethought to think about all the details so that if you do all the grunt work up front, when you deliver the thing you're trying to deliver, you are less likely to have problems if you do the grunt work up front. Today, we get married fast, and then after we get married, we start dating each other. We need to do that the other way around. Before I walk up the aisle and say I do, I need to know who I'm saying I do to. I need to know something about you. I need to know something about your parents. I need to know something about your family. I need to know something about your background. I need to know something about your childhood. It may not all be good. It may not all be nice, but I need to know what I'm coming into agreement with. And then I need to know what we are agreeing about. What do you mean when you say I love you? What do you mean when you say let's get married? What do you mean when you say happily ever after? To make sure that we have the same vision. Because if we don't have the same vision, write this down, if we don't have the same vision, we're going to have division. Division isn't that we're enemies, it's just that we got two different visions as to what we're trying to get done. And for the first couple to be listed in the hallmark of faith, they went through a process to come into agreement. Pastor, don't be discouraged if your whole church is not in agreement with you. You've been there a few years. It's going to take some time to develop agreement. You may not ever have the whole church buy in to get done what you're trying to get done, but to develop enough around you, a disciples, a quorum, a group that brings about agreement takes time and investment. Just because you appoint people doesn't bring them into agreement with the vision. Just because they got degrees doesn't bring them into agreement with the vision. Just because they got talent doesn't mean they have agreement with the vision. Everything good doesn't go together with each other. It takes a while to find that harmonious zone whereby you can play your note, I can play my note, and we can still have a harmonious sound and not a cacophony of noise that hinders and breaks down our ability to have agreement. A chord is notes that come into agreement to produce a sound. A cacophony is when you add a note that doesn't fit in that chord structure. It creates noise, but not music. And a lot of us are not making music, we're making noise because we've got the wrong notes in the chord that stops us from getting the promises that are based on our ability to come on one accord. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were in one place with what? One accord. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. The moment they got with one accord, there came a suddenly in their life. They sat there 10 days to get with one accord. Jesus left on the 40th day. The Holy Ghost didn't fall till the 50th day. It took them 10 days to get with one accord. People who had been together for 3 years still took 10 days when they were in one place with one accord. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. We didn't wait 10 days for the sound to come. We're waiting 10 days for us to get with one accord. How much have you put into one accord? How much have you put into an agreement? How much effort and work and talk and communication has gone into agreement? Is it agreement you want or control? Is it agreement you want or domination? An agreement means we got to negotiate. It means I may have to give up some things. You may have to give up some things. We have to believe in something higher than our own selfish ambitions in order to come into agreement so that we can accomplish the things of God. Are you with me? I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know why I'm talking this way, but God's getting ready to bring you into agreement that's going to unlock some things in your life like you have never seen before. And the reasons you've been hindered before is that you have hooked up with people that weren't in agreement with you, and ultimately everything fell apart for the lack of cohesiveness because you didn't have agreement. Jesus spent more time with the 12 than he did with the 5,000. You can't get 5,000 people to agree about what color carpet we're going to have. But he worked with the 12 to bring them to agreement. Agreement is a powerful thing. Agreement is a powerful thing. If you get agreement, it'll change your life. If you get agreement, it will open up doors. Agreement is a powerful thing, but it takes time to come into agreement because not only do we need to come into agreement about principles that require some negotiation and some sacrifice of my selfishness and my narcissistic attitude, I may have to give up some of that for the benefit of agreement. I have to give up some of me for there to be us. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? But I also want you to understand that agreement is difficult because we have to grow into agreement with God. Because there's not as much difference between Abraham and Sarah as there is difference between Abraham, Sarah, and God. God is eternal. God is everlasting. God is holy. God is perfect in all his ways. God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. They are none of that. They are temporal. They are finite. They are human. They are fallen. They are chaotic. They are sinful. They make mistakes. Look at what it took for them to come into alignment with a God who is even more different than they are from each other. So when your prayer partner and you come together into agreement, that's a job. The next job is to come into agreement with God, who sees the end from the beginning, who has an expected end for your life, who is perfect in all his ways. Coming into agreement with God is a process. How do I come into agreement with God? Spending time, spending prayer, being honest with yourself, being honest with him. Stop being religious and pretending to be something that you're not. Open up your heart to the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to begin to walk into your life. And little by little, the Word is made flesh in your life. And when the Word is made flesh in your life, you're coming into agreement. When the Word is made flesh in your life, when you stop being a hearer and become a doer of the Word, you come into agreement. Just because you're exposed to the Word doesn't mean you're in agreement to it. Just because you heard the sermon doesn't mean that you're in agreement to it. Just because you go to a great church doesn't mean you're in agreement to it. It takes a while for the Word to penetrate your cold, stony, fleshly heart and to get down to that soft place where you can germinate and bring forth the character of God in your life. It's a process. It's a process for Abraham and Sarah. They did not start out being worthy of being in the hallmark of faith. They had to grow into it.